God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation, our epistle reading, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the name of Jesus, who is our hope, even when times are hard, to fellow redeemed. Just for a minute, I want you to imagine reading in the newspaper or on Craigslist this ad. For sale, 1997 Toyota Corolla, 285,000 miles, some rust, needs brakes, AC does not work, missing a fender, won't start, $5,000 firm. Tell me, is this a car you want to buy? I doubt it, right? Why would anybody even run an ad like that? I mean, chances are this ad would convince you that you don't want that car. Who wants a car that is expensive and yet doesn't run? You know what that ad reminds me of? It reminds me of a verse in our text for today. 2 Timothy 3:12, St. Paul writes, for everybody to read, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I'm thinking, Paul, are you trying to attract people to the faith with a statement like that? If you believe in Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. Really? I mean, maybe you had some of those same thoughts when you opened the bulletin and you saw that our theme for today, Christians will endure persecution. You're thinking, great. Boy, where do I sign up? You realize that God is not in the business of selling used cars. He's not in the business of attracting buyers. God is about telling people the truth. He's about telling Christians what's in store for them as followers of Jesus. But more importantly, he's about helping us endure whatever comes as his children. And he does that through his word. Today we continue our sermon series, The Word Works. In this case, it works to help us persevere through persecution. Our sermon theme today is simply this: Christians will endure persecution. We'll see first why that is, and then more importantly, how we can deal with it when it comes. Our text for today is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy. This is sometimes regarded as his last epistle, kind of his last will and testament. He's offering some final words of advice to his son in the faith, Timothy, about being a faithful pastor in a world that is growing increasingly evil. In fact, he describes that world as we get closer and closer to Judgment Day when he writes, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Quite a laundry list there. And Paul's advice to Timothy about these people, he simply says, have nothing to do with them. Now, don't misunderstand that. He doesn't mean don't associate with them, don't evangelize them. Rather, he means don't imitate them. And from that point, he goes on to start to draw a contrast between the way the world lives and believes and the way Paul lived and believed. He says to Timothy, You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Paul's not boasting. He's rather pointing out how God's amazing grace has had an effect on his heart and life. But Paul points Timothy not just to the good things Timothy sees in Paul's life, but also some of the hard things that he sees. He adds to this list persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Chances are Timothy knew what Paul was talking about in these cities. He maybe witnessed some of this. For you and I, we may not remember exactly what happened in those cities. So fortunately, St. Luke in Acts helps us. He describes the fact that, for example, in Antioch, the Jewish leaders stirred up trouble against Paul, and ultimately he was expelled from the city. In Iconium, the Jews formed a plot to stone Paul, but at the last second, Paul escapes to Lystra, where the Jews carry out their plan to stone him. They drag his lifeless body outside the city and leave him for dead. By the grace of God, Paul survived that stoning and goes on his way and continues his mission journeys. These are just three incidents of some of the persecution that Paul faced. In fact, in 2 Timothy, he speaks about all of them together. He writes this: I've been in prison more frequently, have been flogged more severely, have been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I've been in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger from false brothers. Wow. Think about that a minute. I mean, here's the arguably the greatest apostle the world's ever known, the man who's chosen and commissioned by God to be his instrument to the Gentiles. And what does Paul have to show for all that? Death threats, concussions, broken bones, stripes on his back. Really? Now, maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, that was then, and this is now. That happened back in those days. But in our modern world, nobody experiences physical persecution like this. Are you sure about that? The organization Open Doors tracks this kind of thing, and they put out a recent report that said over 200 million Christians are currently enduring very high or extreme forms of persecution. In our world today, one out of every 12 Christians lives in a country where Christianity is illegal or forbidden or punished. In communist countries, but especially in Muslim countries, things like church bombings and abductions and torture are commonplace occurrences. But again, maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, I realize that's going on in the world, but it hasn't really touched our little Wells world. Think again. Some of you maybe realize that the Wisconsin Synod is now working with some Hmong pastors in North Vietnam. Let me share with you one of their stories in his own words. People in my area started becoming Christian already in 1993 when we heard radio broadcastings about Christianity. From 1993 to 1997, Christianity spread very quickly in our area. We heard that if you believed, you would be released from shamanism and Satan. So within a short amount of time, the whole area believed. I believed in 1997. One of my uncles served in the army. When he found out that we had become Christians, he was so angry. He brought many guns to our house, and he wanted to kill us. He also brought a big pot and was going to build a big fire and boil our whole family one by one for being Christian. But he drank a glass of alcohol, and we don't know what happened. He fell asleep on the table, and our family was spared. He goes on. Early in the morning, he woke up. In the end, they arrested the whole village. The government forced us to make bricks, cut plants, and build houses. For 1 week, we did hard labor for the government in our area. They brought us all together, and the local officials would point a gun at the leaders of the church. If you don't renounce your faith, we will kill you, they threatened. But no one would renounce their faith. Since no one would renounce their faith, the government couldn't do anything. After they released all of us believers, we went back to our village. But they didn't allow us to worship. So I remember we woke up at 1 a.m. to worship God. We couldn't turn on any lights. We just used some oil lamps so we could worship from 1 to 2 a.m. We did that from 1997 to 2000. As you listen to those words, I want you to ask yourself two questions. First of all, if you were in their situation, would you have done what they did? If somebody put a gun to your head, would you renounce Christ? If the only time you could worship was 1 a.m, would you do it? As you think about how hard it can be to come to a church service that's at a little more convenient time. But maybe more importantly, why? Why would this happen? How could a gracious God allow his children to face trials and tribulations like this? Death threats? Persecution? Injustice? Brutality? Why? Two reasons. Number one, Satan is still alive and well on planet Earth. In other words, Satan is going to use everything in his ability to try to separate believers from their God. He'll use persecution. He'll use temptation. He'll use sickness and hardship. In fact, Martin Luther spoke about this in the Large Catechism when he wrote, "We who would be Christians must surely expect to have the devil with all his angels and the world as our enemies, and must expect that they will inflict every possible misfortune and grief upon us. For where God's word is preached, accepted, or believed, and bears fruit, there the holy and precious cross will also not be far behind." Which leads us to the second reason. There's persecution. Christians are destined to carry a cross. What did Jesus say? "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In that case, the cross is what? The cross is any hardship that a Christian undergoes because he's a Christian. It's that trial that we go through for the sake of the gospel. If a person is thrown into jail, if she has to do hard labor because of her faith, that's the cross that God is asking her to carry. Jesus told his disciples the very same thing when he sent them out. "You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." If you think about it, aren't those words being fulfilled in our world today? When you think about the hatred people have toward Christians, you think about that Hmong man, right? His uncle was furious, hated him because he became a Christian. You think about the animosity that some of these religious zealots have against Christians. They call them infidels. Maybe you've experienced it in your own life, where people ridicule you for being a Bible-believing Christian. They accuse you of being intolerant or judgmental or bigoted. They shun you. That's hard. It hurts. But it's exactly what Paul said would happen. That's what he means. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Or as God told us, Christians will endure persecution. But now maybe the more important question isn't so much why persecution occurs, as the real question we want answered is how can we endure that? How can a person do? How can a person who has a gun to his head say, I believe in Jesus? What gives a person that courage? What gives a person that strength? The answer? God's Word does. You see, the Word works. Now, when I say that, I don't mean the Bible, you know, is some kind of magic lucky charm, an amulet that gives you a magical power of courage. No, rather I mean that in the Bible, God tells us what we need to know. In the Bible, God tells us the truth, and the truth gives us power. With knowledge comes courage. And God has given us both in His Word. What the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he could just as easily said to you and me today. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, God has made you wise. He has told you what you need to know, first about yourself, that you and I by nature are broken, lost sinners. We keep messing up again and again, and if left to ourselves, we'd face nothing but separation from God forever. But God did not leave us to ourselves. He stepped into our world. He became the perfect substitute, the perfect sacrifice. And by His death and resurrection, He has defeated death and freed us from fear forever. You and I can say with the psalmist of old, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Wasn't that the attitude of those Hmong men? You guys can't hurt us. You can kill us, but you can't hurt us. You can't scare us. You can't separate us from our God. In fact, nothing can separate us from our God. They could say with the Apostle Paul, not trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness or sword, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You realize that what those Hmong men had, you have too. You have the Word. And the Word has made you wise. The Word has given you a knowledge of where you stand with God. You stand forgiven, adopted into His family, and going to heaven. And that fact removes all your fear. That's what gives you the ability to persevere, even through persecution. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.